All right, are we ready to begin? All right, Father, we seek you tonight for wisdom. We thank you even now. Some of the things we've discussed are just based in common sense. We want more of that from you. We want that to drive out more of the world. Let your word reveal things that need to be changed in our lives, ways that we need to think differently. And because we want to be more like you, not because we just want to be different, but because we want to be more like you. We thank you that you hear and answer every prayer. And tonight we will leave here changed. We won't be the same. We won't be entertained, and we won't be saying, well, that was a comfortable message or a comfortable word. It's something that will bind us in thought until it causes a change in our lives. For this, we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to talk to you just a little bit about tongues again. And I want you to remember, I'm going to give you the New Testament definition of tongues, which is, it comes from the tongue. It's a language, one naturally unacquired. That bothers me when I say that. It's kind of like saying it backwards. One naturally unacquired, or one not naturally acquired, is the way I'd say it. We've already studied a little bit. And I want to once again qualify that this is very controversial, and it should not be. Some religions don't believe in it. Some believe in it. Some think it's for the devil. Some think it's the only way to get to heaven. I'm not going to say that I can prove that it's anybody that thinks it's of the devil is wrong. I mean, they're wrong. That's point blank. Does that mean that some people? That everybody that speaks in a tongue is being led by the Spirit? No. No. Well, I can't prove that anywhere. I can tell you that it's something that you need to seek, not work on. But it's something, there's two types of tongues. Two. One that is done publicly and one that is done privately. If you're talking using religious terms, the private one is the one that you pray in tongues. Now, once again, just like spirit and soul, some of that's defined wrong, and when it was interpreted, it was done wrong. But anything that is done in public needs an interpretation to follow. Okay? Let's stay away from the one that's done privately. One that's done in public, a tongue that is given or spoken in public, requires an interpretation. And anybody that thinks that interpretation has to come from some other direction, they've not read the Scripture totally. Because right in Corinthians, it says you need to pray for tongues and you need to pray for the interpretation. The one that's done in public, the Bible says, is for, actually, it's not for the believers, it's for the unbeliever. That's what this says. That's what the Scripture says. Now, the one that's done in private, let's start with the basis of this. When you don't know how to pray, or when you've run into the end of yourself on how to pray. You know, there's no more words, there's no more understanding, but you know something else needs to be done. That is called a prayer language. That is one that the Bible says it's kind of a private communication between you and God. Okay? You may not even know what you're doing. In fact, generally you don't. But you know that there's something released. You don't even know what that is. You just know there's a release in you, therefore you know there's a release in the Spirit. And if you've ever done any heavy-duty praising and worshiping, you know that you can run to the end of that. There needs to be another step, another place to go that's past your tongue. Now, what can be included in public tongue? Well, it depends on who's trying to teach you, but it can be a word from God for somebody in the body. That requires an interpretation. It can be somebody that needs to speak in a true language that they don't know, but the congregation needs to understand. These are all proofs in the Bible. And once again, we've talked about this before, this tongue can also be the understanding. When a guy speaks in English, you can understand in Spanish. Now, that's referring more to your hearing as a tongue, but it's something that's not naturally acquired. What we really need to do is just throw our hands open and say, God, whatever you want to do it, however you want to do it. I'm not going to practice anything and I'm not going to try anything. I just want you to do it. Now, I am much heavier into the prayer language than anything else. because I think that's most profitable to my understanding. Does that make sense? I'll tell you something else. Let me step one step further just for experience. Sometimes it's this. Paul says it's me speaking. This is not Scripture, so this is me speaking right now. For me, I hear God better without saying anything, much better than I used to. Because of practicing past myself in a prayer time, did I just run to the end of a prayer so I speak in a different language? That's not even much required sometimes. It's not even required. A lot of times, it happens to me even up here. I'll be talking along and all of a sudden, there's an interpretation coming to me, if you like that. A word from God coming to me at the same time that I'm speaking and they're not tied together. That used to stop me in my tracks. It doesn't even stop me in my tracks anymore. I can be hearing what God is speaking while I'm speaking to you something that's written in my notes and they're not even on the same track. You remember I talked to you last Wednesday night, I told you how fast God's thoughts were that they actually can go ahead of time and bring things back into order. Today I was explaining that to Paul. He called me. And I said, Paul, a friend of mine in South Texas, he calls when God tells him to call. That's all I can tell you. There's always a reason and a purpose. But it's been about 2-3 months since he called last time. He'll call again in a few days now that I told him this. But I explained to him what I explained to you last Wednesday, which came out of a language that's unacquired, unnaturally. And I got a picture. I explained to you the picture God gave me while I was standing here about him, his thought processes. Well, as I was explaining that to him, I said, Paul, did you ever see the movie Superman? See, God can speak in any language, even movie language. Y'all remember the time when Clark Kent's girlfriend drove off and the dirt filled in and killed her? Killed her, right? And Superman, which was given superpowers, which aren't near as good as our superpowers, he started flying around the world and he made time reverse by him going faster than light. Remember? He made the world go backwards long enough to where he could go down and change the outcome. And I said, that's God. Only he don't have to fly around the world. He just has to think. He just has to think. And I said, now, Paul, all of our lives happened before the foundations of the earth. He could see my life all the way from front to back, before and after. And so what he did is when he saw that, some of the things that would have killed me, taken me out of the picture, whatever, he said, nope, don't like that. And his thought processes reversed that time and changed the outcome. He can do it before it even happened. So we didn't even know it happened. We died, came back to life, and didn't even know it. By him removing death. He didn't just add life to us through Christ Jesus. He took away death.
Man, that's right.
And you're not going to understand that unless you can hear with an ear that's not naturally acquired. You're not going to be able to envision it unless you have a language through eyes that are not naturally acquired. I'm excited that there's a realm, and most Christians don't ever go into this. There's a realm out here. It's not goosebump realm. It's real. It's more real than life and death because it can change life and death. If I was subject to every nut driver that's out there, I'd already be dead. Well, why are you special? Because I've driven more miles than most of you. I've been out there as a target a lot longer and more, right? I was born and raised in the most dangerous profession there is. It's called farming. Nobody ever goes through life with all their fingers. Not as a farmer. The only bone that I ever cracked was when I was bowling when I was in high school. No, that's not. Yeah, that's true. Remember I told you about that car wreck that I was in? And it broke my back. The x-ray said it did. And I said, no, 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 no. Well, somebody flew around the world, backed it up, and took the brake away in the x-ray. So it's easy for me to sit here and understand what I'm trying to tell you about life and death, about healing, about finances. I don't know if I'll get to that yet. Paul called today, and I expressed some concerns about some things. And I finally told him, I said, now God led me, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, to believe for a miracle Monday. That it was my time to get a miracle Monday. He said, well, call me when it happens. Because he's thinking I'm meaning next Monday. And I said, no, 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 you don't understand, Paul. Monday's already gone. I got my miracle. Well, what was it? I don't know. Do I have to know before I have one? I already got it. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. I looked in the Word. I saw that God changed the world with a word in Genesis. I didn't see it, so it didn't happen. Y'all are supposed to say no.
No, it happened.
So my whole life is based on things that I can't see. Why would I not understand that if God told me that I was going to get a miracle Monday, that I already have it? I already have it, right? Okay, this is what he said. Paul just stopped for a minute. And he said, about a month ago, and he said, I'm not going to tell you because of what you said, because I'm going to tell you because it's a decision I made. I heard a real strong teaching. Now, Paul doesn't get every fact right. I don't care. He gets the faith right. So here's what he said. He said, back when Constantine changed the calendar, he made October the 2nd as the Day of Atonement on the calendar. Now, do you hear what I just... October the 2nd was Monday. So, I said, that's what I needed. He didn't have the slightest idea, and I'm not too sure I knew what I was talking about. I just know that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, here's the second one to know for sure that something happened on Monday, October the 2nd, other than her birthday, which was also my Day of Atonement. I'm not joking. I'm not on any flattery. It was the truth. Atonement is the only word that you can actually use to mean salvation. There's no salvation without atonement, right? Absolutely not. Something had to be paid and something had to be removed. Washed away, covered, or paid for. It had to be atoned for, or it had to be bought, or it had to be erased. And something was added. The Day of Atonement for Christians is when something is taken away, but much more is added. Well, I've been living that for a long time and not seen it. You know what I mean? I never saw my Day of Atonement. I just know it happened. So what about my miracle for Monday? See, we need to get back into the real world instead of this world. It's because I didn't see anything don't mean it didn't happen. I promise you, God flew around the world and changed some things for me. Only Superman flew backwards. And then he flew forwards. He had to do and undo. God doesn't have to do that. He just sits in his throne and goes, whoosh, whoosh, it's done. How else can you explain, I hear and answer every prayer? If he changes things, how does he change it? He doesn't go to work. You can ask God till the world looks level, please do this for me, and he won't do it. Go back to Genesis. He saw that something needed to be changed. He said, it's changed. And it was changed. He pictured a different outcome. When he divided the water from the land, he pictured it divided and it was divided. And then he said, that's good. He did. He enjoyed what he did to me. May his face radiate because of you.
Amen.
Well, part of that is what he does to you. It causes a glow in his face just like it does in yours. We kind of snickers, and you don't know what he's snickering about. I'm not going to go there. When you try to think like God thinks, you get torqued pretty fast. But it's still, I snicker because he doesn't care if I question and wonder a little once in a while. But we have to take things that are here or that's not here. Like my miracle that happened Monday that I haven't seen yet. And I chuckle and I laugh, and I actually got really excited today. And the Holy Spirit said, this is what faith really is. When you're already excited about something you don't see.
Good.
Not because you say you're excited. Because you're getting goosebumps. You're getting chills from what you know happened even though you haven't seen it happen. That's what faith causes. Who is the author and finisher of my faith?
God.
So I can only be happy in Him, right? And I'm going to be happy when I believe Him. So I don't know what God's up to. I know He's stretching me. I've never been a man of little faith. I didn't think, but this is sure a little thing. Why do I have to talk about this? When I literally have to say, well, I don't have to see it. It's already happened. Jesus go to the cross? I didn't see it. Couldn't have happened. That's how we think of things. Sure it happened. I have to believe it. I have to know it. And I do. So what's the difference between that and Monday? When I told that doctor, no, my back's not broken. Well, she said, well, I saw the x-rays. I don't care what you saw. My back's not broken. You're wrong. I hadn't seen the x-ray clear up, right? What about when you're believing? Harry, did you ever see your problem with your lungs? Never, but you knew when it was changed, right? But did you know when it was changed? See, in reality, factual, the Bible says before the foundations of the earth, that was taken care of. Before the foundations of the earth. And yet we have a hard time believing it until we feel it. And that's the trouble with a lot of our faith-based things. It's based on feeling. That's why these two men have killed these girls, because they felt something. I felt these old feelings of molestation coming back. You reacted to a feeling, you dope. What do the girls have to do? I mean, your thinking gets messed up. How can I say this? Your thinking gets messed up when you try to analyze things instead of just accepting them.
Right. I'd rather walk by faith, not by sight anyway.
Well, that's the only way to please God. In your case, you have an advantage over us.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know.
Well, there's a lot less things that affect your eyesight than ours.
Yeah, that's true.
I've told Richard that, so I'm just telling you now. In many cases, you don't have to deal with what you see. And yet sighted people, it's one of the biggest temptations there is. It's what you see. Temptations to non-believe, to not believe. Yeah. That's why when I sit there, I don't sit back there. I sit up here. Because I don't want to be distracted by what I see.
I think I think if I hadn't have known... See, I came to the Lord October the 2nd.
Day of Atonement.
That was my Day of Atonement.
There you go.
Praise the Lord for that. And then what happened was, after that, I surrendered my life to God. And that was a blessing. But if it hadn't have been that I would have seen, I probably would have not come to the Lord as soon as I did. So I have him to thank for that.
Always?
Always.
By the way, I am giving my life to God every day. I have to, because I have a temptation to pick it back up. For some reason, I want to be daddy of my life. Daddy needs to know when to let loose. Those things, we need to be concentrating on believing for things that we don't see. It doesn't take a very bright person to believe for something you see. How hard a work is it to believe for something you can see? I'm going to believe for that grand piano. Well, what are you going to believe it for? That it's going to turn white? I mean, it's already there. You don't need to believe for that. It's there. Need to move on and reach out there and grab something that we can't touch, we can't see, we can't feel, and drag it in. Y'all get the point. Most people give up their faith when it doesn't come when they think it should. That's when you give up your faith. Or how?
Yeah, we have schedules and deadlines, and we try to put God on those schedules and deadlines,
We don't realize He's already put us on one.
Well, we kind of work with His timetable instead of ours, and the hardest thing is patience. You know, God gives you patience, but He also gives you tribulation. I'm not one for patience, you know. And I have to remember that I have to work on God's timetable, not mine. And that's a hard thing for me to do.
Yep. I agree. I can't say I'm the author of or the finisher of patience. One thing I know is that age keeps making it better, or the Holy Spirit does, whichever one I want to blame. But I just know it's changing. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14:14, or probably start maybe a little sooner. And I want to open our minds just a little bit by what I just told you. My trouble is I always want to go back further than need be. Verse 12 says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." Now to me, that's the basis of everything we need to read. We can't read anything correctly unless we settle with this one. Let the edification of the church be the reason that you seek to excel. All right, now we can read the other. "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, this is a prayer. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Now, what I'm seeing here is this has got to be a choice. I can be comfortable with praying in the Spirit with no understanding. Or I can demand that I have the understanding. And God says, that's great. Now, let me ask you this. In my prayer time, if I'm by myself and I'm praying with an unknown tongue to me, I'm praying with my prayer language, does praying with the understanding mean that I have to have the understanding right then? It's kind of like seed time and harvest. I can plant the seed and expect to harvest. But I never planted a seed in my life where I got this, where I got the harvest the next minute. Seems like there's a little lag time in there. I will pray with the Spirit. Now, this is the way we say it. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? Now, see, here's the one thing you need to remember. Why do you think I want you guys to say amen a lot? Well, but this scripture demands it. It says that how can those that are uninformed say amen? So only the informed people are going to say amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Got a bigger response that time, didn't we? How are they going to say amen at the giving of your thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For if you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. For indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, one does not get rid of the other. But here's what I truly believe in my spirit. That if I spend time when nobody else is listening, and I pray in the Spirit, and I pray for understanding, that less and less an unknown tongue will be required right here and now. Let me tell you why. It's because I believe that God teaches you how to speak. I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to speak with intelligence and understanding. What does understanding mean? What do you mean? My job is to make you understand what I'm trying to say. I think the biggest goofy practice we have is we say things and we don't think it's important for the other people to understand. They just ought to. Don't you understand what I'm saying? It's hard to say no. I don't have the slightest idea what you just said. That way somebody can learn that how they said it that way didn't work. Let me try another way. It's okay. It's called communication. God's into communication. If you don't believe it, open your hearts. Watch him talk to you in ways that'll blow your mind. And one of the ways I believe that he talks to you is giving you the ability to communicate. And when you don't learn real fast and the Holy Spirit wants to communicate, then the Holy Spirit steps in and gives you that different, unacquired way of speaking. That make sense? He fills in the gaps. He steps in where I can't go any further. My weaknesses don't limit him. He can just keep on going. And in this case, it doesn't make any difference. It's where you're praising, or where you're worshiping, or where you're teaching. And even in prayer. Do you think I'm going to get better at praying if I pray with another tongue and he teaches me? I think we learn to pray better. We don't pray amiss so much. God, bless this food. No, don't pray that way. Don't pray that way. You want that food to grow in your belly? You don't want that to expand in your belly. Pray for it to be sanctified and ask him to use it for his kingdom. Where does that come from? It's not in the Bible. No, it's from that word that's not written in the Bible, the living word. It's writing on your heart. There's much scripture in the Bible that we have such a shallow understanding, it's unbelievable. How many million times do you think I read or heard about Joseph? And then all of a sudden, it's time to understand. How many times do you ever think I ever heard the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? And I was out praying one time by myself, and all of a sudden, by the Spirit, God reveals, Jesus loves me, this I know. Simple, for the Bible tells me so. Boom, light. I get excited about that. Well, it took you long enough. It only took you about 40 years, dummy. Hey, I got it. Did you get it? When's the last time you got all goosebumpy and real for Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? It became a gorgeous song. Here's another thing that we can count on. Many times God speaks to me in ways he doesn't speak to you, and he speaks to you in ways he doesn't speak to me. So we know this to be a language that's unacquired, even the hearing language, or the ability to hear and understand. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Over and over. Here's an understanding that Christians absolutely refuse to receive. Every time something was wrong with somebody in the New Testament, what was Jesus' response? Oh, you of little faith. Well, that's not me. I got great faith. No, Jesus don't lie. What are you telling me? Just accept the fact that something's wrong in your life. It's because of not enough faith. Now, nobody in here wants to hear that, no more than I do. But Jesus, that's what he said. Do not fear. There's what steals your faith. Do not fear. Two things he always said. Do not be afraid. Oh, you have little faith. Fear not, have more faith. Fear less, faith more. So we know that fear is the opposite of faith. If I'm entertaining any kind of fear at all, I'm killing faith. So what do? I face my fear with faith. The three F's. Face fear with faith. What does that mean? That means if you're afraid of a roach, find one and kill him. Find another one and kill him. Stomp him until you're not afraid anymore. If you're afraid of a wasp, get you something and beat him to death until you're no longer afraid. Well, that's a physical work. Well, believe me, sometimes physical work accomplishes faith, and sometimes it's just a matter of believing that it accomplishes faith. Do you believe that you're more than any weapon that formed against you? Then why are you afraid of a cockroach or a wasp? My goodness, the littlest thing. My dad would say, I could take a lightning bug on the end of a stick and run you out of the country. That means you're afraid of things you shouldn't be afraid of. Karen used to not fly because she's afraid of flying, so she'd get drunk. She's not afraid of getting drunk and losing control, but she's afraid of flying. So when we start to go to Cozumel, she's white. Where's your Bible, Karen? Read. Sit there and read. Watch the fear go away. She couldn't read it because she's too busy holding on to it. Well, I've never seen a Bible stop a crash, but I've seen reading the Bible with faith stopping one. Read, Karen. You don't need any alcohol to read. Read. You know what? Within a couple of three times, it wasn't that important anymore. She overcame by testimony, by faith. Where are we? Where's your faith? How strong are you? Everything is controlled. The visible is controlled by the invisible. Isn't that what the Scripture says? The visible is controlled by the invisible, not the other way around. People will say, the devil made me do it, but they won't say, the visible is controlled by the invisible. When they're saying, the invisible controls the visible. Let's don't argue with the Scripture. Let's just accept it to be totally true and use it to our benefit. That's why God gave it to us, to use it to our benefit. Well, Gene, I've never seen you pray with an unknown tongue. Well, then it must be real, right? Because I didn't see it. I tell you this, I didn't get to see her born, so she must not be here. That gives me a little bit better understanding of that my sins don't exist if I don't bring them up to God, because he can't see them. All he sees is the blood of Jesus. Therefore, if I won't bring them up, they don't exist. I have to make them visible before they're real. If I leave them invisible, I understand they're invisible. I understand I can't see them, God can't see them, then therefore they don't exist. Now it affects the visible. The invisible affects the visible. But if I bring them up to him and you and God all the time, then they must be visible. So now I'm making the visible control the invisible. No. Have you ever seen your motor work?
In my car?
Mm-hmm. You've opened that thing up and seen it work?
No.
It works, doesn't it?
Yes, I hear it.
I mean, you just do a little something and it takes off and you don't have the slightest idea why, but you know that it works. Yep. And you don't know why. You've never seen electricity go through a wire. Never in your life have you ever seen electricity go through a wire. But you didn't even see that.
No.
It's amazing that 95 or more percent of our lives, we base everything on what we can't see. And yet I'm arguing with God, I'm arguing with myself, that because I didn't see it Monday, it didn't happen. What a limited goof I am. God's trying to make me grow, and I want to go backwards. I've seen Gene get up and play music. Never seen one drop in her of music. Have you? Well, then you got spiritual eyes. So she reigns on the keys. She doesn't play them, right? This may sound like goofy conversation, but it's caused to make us think. It's there to make us think. There to make us think. The biggest thing everybody ever talks about is love, and you can't see one drop of it. You can't find it in a test tube. You can't color it and make it seem. You can't use blue light on it and make it seem. You can't ever make love seem. And it's what all of us base our whole lives on. And it can take us over. It can consume us. Love can consume you, and yet it has no teeth or mouth. And yet we have a hard time believing in God or believing God. I'd rather believe in him than believe in him, by the way. So how should we pray? for understanding. Pray for wisdom. But according to the scripture we just read, don't pray for yourself. You need wisdom for the edification of the church. You need wisdom. You need grace for edification of the church. You need mercy for edification of the church. You need an unknown language for edification of the church. And you're the church, by the way. But it's not just for you. You need wealth for edification of the church. You need power and faith and strength for edification of the body. Right? And I am part of that. The way I understand the scripture is if I pray for this, whatever I'm praying for the body, I get a double portion. But if I pray for me, I get zero. Solomon, what did he pray?
For the people. Understanding.
Understanding. So that he'd be a righteous judge. Wisdom. Understanding. I don't know how you separate wisdom and understanding. Because you didn't pray for yourself. Prayed for the body. Prayed for who he was ruling over.
The wisdom and understanding was for the people he was to rule over.
Yeah, but Harry quoted it right. Yeah. He prayed for one thing. He got another because he didn't pray for himself. See, there's bonuses in praying for others. With that in mind, Bill's not feeling well, so why don't we agree that he's feeling well?
Amen.
That simple. I think God understands the remedy and the cure. So Jason called today. They're going to send him to airborne school. He's got a physical Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. If God puts it in your spirit, then pray. But now agree that everything's going to be okay, fast, safe, healed. He goes through airborne school, and everything's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Yeah, you're going, well, it's. I said, why, Jason? You can't jump out of a helicopter. Can you imagine? Helicopter's going down, and you jump out? Uh-uh. He said, it's part of the promotion process. Fort Benning, Georgia crosses the Chattahoochee. So it's in Georgia, and it's in Alabama. Me, I've looked forward to it. I still want to jump out of a plane. It's fine. I just don't want to pay for it. I think it'd be outstanding if somebody just pushed me out at about 20,000 feet where I had to go as fast as I could to get to about 6,000, 4,000, then pull the cord. Maybe at 3,000, maybe at 1,000, because I would enjoy the fall. Why? Are you afraid? You don't see the sense in it. I don't see the sense why you're carrying that cell phone. I don't see the sense why you like chocolate. I can't figure out why in the world you want to drink 2 or 3 gallons of water. There's no sense in it. Some things are just fun, right? If I can fly, I can jump. The old saying, face your fears. That doesn't mean you have to lay in front of a railroad track or a coming train. That's not what I'm saying, but you know, God, once again, God does not intend, it does not please him for us to have one phobia, not one. If I am in Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of God the Father, which puts me in a pretty safe place, why would I have a phobia about anything? When he says to me by the scripture, don't worry about tomorrow, it'll take care of itself. And why should I even think one time about tomorrow?
Bill, this is interesting. I have a fear of thinking about height. It gives me a real strange tingling. But if I'm up there, it doesn't bother me. If I'm up there physically, it doesn't bother me. But thinking about it, it's strange feeling.
If any of you are afraid of elevators, don't get in one with me. Because if I find out about it, I'm going to break you right there. I'm going to start jumping up and down till you can feel the cords stretch. It's going to shake right. Isn't that right? I found out Bob and Karen are a little afraid of that. I get in that thing and start jumping, and I want, come on, let's make this thing break. It's not going to break, I know that, or I wouldn't do it. You're kind of afraid of everything. Yeah, well, Bob's afraid to get up past one rung on a ladder. And I got him in one of those lifts. I tricked him into getting to it, and I hit the button and sent him up about 20 feet. And I made him stay there a while. And when he started turning white after about 5-10 minutes, I let him back down. Why not help him? Anything happened to him? No? Well, one negative thing happened to him.
His blood pressure went up, I'm sure.
He could stand a little more circulation. It's good for all of us for our blood pressure to go up once in a while. That's why I get in the hot tub. That's right. Get in the hot tub. Make those things expand and contract and break all that crud loose. We're all full of crud. We got to get rid of it.
Blow up your exhaust system in your vehicle once in a while. So why not?
I'm I get on a motorcycle. I don't buy a motorcycle. I won't buy a motorcycle because I got that bugs in the teeth attitude. You know what that means? That means first I want to know how fast this thing will go. And as I'm smiling, I'll swallow. You keep your teeth together so you don't swallow bugs. I can't. Ask my wife. I took her about 95 one time from a stoplight to 95. And I said, look how fast this thing's going. She couldn't see. Can you believe that? I can't see.
I don't want to see.
You know what's good for you, you know what's bad. I don't want a motorcycle because I know what I'm going to do. I've done it too many times. First car I ever had, I had it electronically timed at 145 miles an hour with me driving. On a country road that was about this wide. If you don't believe it, go 145 on a country road and find out how wide the road is. In a car that was no more aerodynamic than I am. Had 413 cubic inch and a lot of horsepower.
First thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he ever made cockroaches to begin with.
Make what? Cockroaches?
Yeah.
So we'd have something to overcome.
Well, I think it was because of Pharaoh and the hardness of his heart.
Okay.
Why he was so mean. You know, when the Israelites, he wouldn't let the Israelites go. And I think it was because because of Pharaoh is why he made all those little pests.
I think they're around because of the fall.
I think that good Christians full of faith need something dead laying around them. Every place they walk, they got to conquer something. Is that right? So there ought to be some enemy laying dead. There ought to be something laying dead around you all the time. You ought to be killing something all the time. Now, let me get back to what I said so I make a point. I think that good Christians full of faith ought to have some dead things laying around them. The Bible says you need to be able to see your enemies fall right before you.
We've got a fox living in our backyard now.
Is that bad?
No. Well, I should just
we've seen two litters raised. Oh, no. Fly is a total representation of the devil. So get you something and kill as many as you can.
No, he's already dead. So I should just leave him there.
Then do whatever makes you spiritually feel good. Put a little lighter fluid on him and burn him or whatever. Just whatever makes you feel spiritually good. Torture him. Picture him as the devil and torture him. Didn't you ever do that?
I tell you, cockroaches are the devil too.
Cockroaches? Well, now, you know what? It's not enough just to kill a cockroach. You got to stand on him and wiggle. Right? You need to hear him pop. And you need to do that enough till your shoes get slick. Now, listen to me. Listen, you've heard me describe, what did David do when he killed Goliath?
Went over and chopped off his head and carried it around the country.
Did you know for a week or maybe more, he carried that head around and held it in front of everybody. And all Christians go, oh, how gross, that's so gross. No, that's good. The enemy remembered. We need to, as Christians, we need to get so bold, sometimes we just get ornery.
Maybe I should just string that fly on a chain and wear it around.
Well, it's not exactly church jewelry, so leave it. Leave it when you're in a real romantic mood with him. And if he comes towards you, you know he draws, flies draw him, rather than him drawing flies. He's looking at me weird. Christians are supposed to be peculiar, right, Harry? Christians are supposed to be peculiar people.
We are.
We don't look at things the same. We don't understand them the same. Yes, sir.
So when are you going to step down to peculiar?
Right now you just think I'm high, huh? I did drink an energy drink before I came. Maybe that's what I need to blame it on. I would like, seriously, I would really like to see enemy laying dead all around y'all. Whether anybody else sees it or not, just as long as you guys know. God, that's right. Make sure they're God's enemies. But God, he doesn't like anything that don't look like him. You ever notice that about humans? They like people that look like them most of all. That's the way God is. I want you to look like me. Then you're good. We look through a mirror darkly or foggy. We look through a foggy mirror. It's the interpretation. But one day we'll see clearly. One day we will see clearly. I need to break that one out again. That was a good teaching, wasn't it? I preached that one time and went on a vacation to Cozumel and got back and they presented me with a picture depicting that. Somebody hand-painted me a picture depicting that scene. was good. Of looking into the mirror? No. It was beginning to clear. See, the whole idea of it's called, it's not a darkling, that's mistranslated, it's foggy. And it begins to clear, and when you see clearly, you know what you see and what Jesus sees? Him. When I look into a mirror, if I'm seeing clearly, I see Him. Now, let me say it another way. God the Father, when He looks at me looking in a mirror and seeing Jesus, His face radiates. He gets excited when I see or I think that I begin to look like Jesus in some areas. He said, yeah. Who do you think Jesus looks like? Son of God. Who do you think He looks like? Therefore, if I look like God and Jesus looks like God, He's, man, that's my boy. Look at that. Look, that's my girl. Look at how they look. Oh, anyway, we got to go. I'm excited about Him. I'm excited about Monday. I may just have to teach on the Day of Atonement.
Last Monday actually was the Day of Atonement.
That's what I said. Isn't that what I said?
Yes.
Yes, but you said it was your day.
Well, it's a day. It's mine. It's yours. I'm not going to take it from you because I call it mine. I hope I don't.
But it was also the Hebrew Day of Atonement.
Well, whatever Noah is, I am. It doesn't. To me, it doesn't. This bullcorn about belonging to a race is bullcorn. Everybody came from Noah, so there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. That's what my Bible says. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that word, I was set free. I am from the lineage of Noah. Abraham was from the lineage of Noah. So whatever Noah is, I am. Whatever Abraham is, I am. I'm from the lineage of David. I'm from the lineage of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you got another lineage, you go that way. But I'm going to stick with this one. This is a good one. This is a good one. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your comical visitation tonight. Your levity. Harry delivered one the other night, and we just delivered one tonight. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your visit. Thank You for Your change, Your attitude. Our faith is increased. That's what we wanted. We can't figure out why we can't just stick with the Word but that we bring, but that's okay. We're totally yielded to You. At Your hand, at Your knee we bow, at Your teaching. We love You, Lord. Use us this week more than You've ever used us before, and let that be an ever-increasing prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.